Okay, show. I know that on my show a lot, we wonder, where are the military? Where are the good guys who are keeping their oath and fighting for we the people? And I'm very blessed today to have one of those men with me. He is Colonel John Mills. Thank you for joining me, sir.
Mel, thank you so much. It's an honor to be on your show.
Oh, it's an honor to have you here. I've been watching you out there. A lot of people might not know how much you were involved in the Durham report and what happened before it, and actually seeing the plot against our nation. I don't even look at it as against Trump. I look at it as a major, to me, it seems to like treason, but a major, major coup. And you are on the front line. So I'm very excited to have you here. If you could just tell my audience briefly, since you have such an amazing background, a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get into it.
Well, thank you, Mel. I've 35 plus years, I stopped counting at 35, of National Security Service in a variety of capacities, both retired military and retired senior civil service inside the U.S. government, starting in 1983. Wow. So five eras, essentially: Cold War, peace dividend, war on terror, world in chaos, the Obama years, and now the great power showdown and the battle to save our republic simultaneously. So deter China and defeat if necessary, and put the rightful person back after the malfeasance that occurred in 2020.
Yeah, it's almost unbelievable. And the truth about you is that you actually were watching from the front lines in D.C. in the background, all of it unfold in real time. And you were very integral in getting a lot of this information out. And this week we had, or last week, we had the Durham report come out. And then we had all of the people from the Durham report, Strzok and Page and Weissman and all these people come out and say, it's no big deal. It is a huge deal. And I want your take on the Durham report, what it said in there, and what it means for our nation.
Well, thank you, Mel. Yeah, this is just the beginning. We're always looking for that 100-yard touchdown pass or home run on every play. And we throw our hands up in the air and say, oh, nothing will happen. No, this was actually a huge victory on several accounts. But it's going to be a long, hard slog, lots and lots and lots of 2 and 3 yard rushes over and over and over again. But several things about the Durham report, which I submitted a long list of names, a number of statements to. I had to update the statements. I have to update the statements again now that I'm number 862 on the Twitter list, because there's a direct connection. Right. But I mean, number one, that Durham got this out at all past the DOJ front office, which is one of the deepest parts of the swamp. And the mere fact that Bulldog Durham got this out, which was incredible, that in itself. Number two, it was a shellacking of the culture of the FBI and DOJ itself. It was a huge vote of no confidence in the culture in the swamp that Merrick Garland leads. So there's nothing positive. And I'd like to just a small ask with Strzok. Now, Strzok is what we would call was filling out his joint duty billet role. Strzok was not an FBI employee. Strzok was from another government agency. That position, that senior executive position at FBI, is normally encumbered by what's called a joint duty assignment from another government agency, this one that is in Langley, Virginia, if anybody understands where that's at. That's and I know Strzok's predecessor. Strzok's predecessor was and is a patriot. I'm not going to name him. Right. Strzok was not a patriot. He was just a deranged thug. Okay. Number three, referrals. There are five referrals out of the investigation. You never, ever want your name and the word referral on the same paragraph or in the same page. That's a very bad thing. That means a referral to Department of Justice for criminal prosecution. There's five, and at least two of those five look suspiciously like some of the names that I gave to the Durham investigation, right? The Georgia Tech one, those two personalities. Pretty sure that's from my list.
Yeah.
Number five, I we have to acknowledge Charles McGonigal, who's been arrested, and he was one of the key players in 2015, 2016, when the Russia charade started. And a lot of my information, I think, led to the McGonigal arrest, because McGonigal was the head of counterintelligence at the largest field office of the FBI in New York that there is. And he was in charge of counterintelligence. Never, ever trust the counterintelligence officer in operation. They're the most likely one to be working for the other side.
Right.
He was arrested for working for Russia. Now Strzok will say, well, hey, he was retired. He was no longer part of government. Anybody with 2 seconds of experience as Eric knows these things didn't just flash out of nowhere. McGonigal had been working this angle for years. So many good things. And then aligned with the Twitter release, where a number of us now have been given our numbers on where we are in the censorship world, huge opportunity for class action suit, which I've already had my lawyer team spun up on that. The Durham investigation, one other thing, I apologize, corroborates a key story that I've put both in my book and then what I gave to the Durham investigation, that the Intel community assessment, November, December of 2016, was a fraud perpetrated by Comey and Brennan. They need to be charged for this false action. They made up the Intel community assessment. My recommendation to Ash Carter, now dead, was don't sign this. There is no information. There is nothing in this top secret report that shows Trump's a Russian asset. Right. I was told literally stand down. No need to staff it any further. Ash Carter is already signed because Comey and Brennan, hands on keyboard, are writing this short Intel community assessment.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, I've been thinking also, because I keep saying, and I keep correcting people, the crime was not really, in my opinion, as much against Donald Trump as it was against we, the people of the United States, and those people who voted for Donald Trump, as well as everyone that they went after around him, because it wasn't just Trump, as you know. It was General Flynn, Steve Bannon, Navarro, Kelly, Monica Crowley, all these people. They went after them one after another, trying to take them all down with any way they could. But what you know, and a lot of people might not know, is that this started way before Donald Trump was elected. And what really we should be also talking about, I think, is that Hillary Clinton not only paid for this, and John Podesta and all of them, but they kept the coup going and this whole thing going the entire time, all the way through 2020. Because I point people a lot of times to something called the Transition Integrity Project, which included a lot of these people, including John Podesta, obviously Hillary's campaign manager, shockingly enough, also the guy who paid for all this, Hillary's CFO of her campaign, is running the SEC right now. We got Sullivan, who really pushed it, running behind the scenes the whole Ukraine operation. I mean, the scary part about all of this is how much danger the United States and we the people are in because of this. And that's, it's not being seen, I don't think, as important and as huge as it is, especially in terms of our relationship with Russia. So tell me a little bit about the bigger implications of the Russia hoax in terms of the safety of this nation and geopolitically what we look like on a bigger scale than just, you know, this Russia hoax and Trump. It's much bigger than that and much more dangerous, I believe.
Well, yeah, it demonstrates there is a cabal, there is a swamp, there is an elite and a deep state that are essentially have grabbed the handlebars of our constitutional government away from 84% of Americans. That's based on a Rasmussen number from last year. So 84% of Americans believe there is a deep state. So that 16% are the minority, and they are going to they are perpetrating. Why? Because it's approaching capital offenses for what they have done. And so at this point in time, they don't care anymore about truth. They are going to do whatever it takes to oppress the American people and stay in power, because they know they are going to jail once Donald J. Trump or another mega candidate gets into the office and unleashes against the deep staters inside of government. So it's just absolutely shameful. I mean, right now we have IRS firing people. I mean, taking them off investigations of the SARS reports, so that document the financial transactions to Hunter and his dad.
Yeah.
The shameful, shameful treatment of the FBI, of their agents who dared to speak up. This is an abuse of the whistleblower act. Just absolutely shameful. And yeah. So, we have an out of control group that has taken over the U.S. government. They are, some of them are literally bought off by China.
Right.
So somehow, and I'm very optimistic we can do this, we have to wrestle them down while giving the Heisman to China to deter them from invading Taiwan and if necessary, defeating them. Even if we have an unauthorized occupant of the White House, we have to do both these things simultaneously. We can do this. We're Americans.
Right. Now, you brought up something I think is interesting. I've been thinking, why isn't it the voters of Donald Trump that can do a class action or some kind of lawsuit against undermining our vote? Because he was not allowed to ever really take office. And then what appears to me is that Paul Ryan, you know, we've seen his true colors multiple times. Blocked his whole agenda while he was there. Trump basically had 8 months where he was able to do anything, and then the impeachments came. So, like I keep saying, the crime here was against Trump voters. It was against the people of the United States, even those who didn't vote for him. And in my mind, I think that all these people betrayed we the people. And I brought up earlier before we came on, there is one lawsuit, which I think is very promising and is getting more promising, which is the General Flynn lawsuit against these individuals, because I truly believe that these individuals need to be held accountable. General Flynn's case is a great one. And now I think very much helped by the Durham report. But you were in there. You saw this going down and what was happening. And I mean, the Flynn takedown to me is just as bad as the Trump takedown.
Yeah. During that critical period, now the whole thing against Flynn from the beginning was an absolute adjunct part of the coup to go after him, you know, because saying that he was the incoming national security advisor. For him to have discussions with foreign countries of a non-committal nature, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. We got John F. Kerry wandering around the world on his windsurfing board, you know, making all these real commitments. It's documented,
right?
And nobody does anything. And the so I think from the beginning, one of their key targets was to take out Flynn. I knew Flynn a bit at the time. I was in the office of the Secretary of Defense. I knew him within days. I was one of the ones having to report on this fake intel community assessment, which this 60, 80 people didn't, most of them didn't know it was fake. But one of the things I immediately wanted to get a list of names of who I thought was already running a coup. And at that time, you know, up until, you know, really early 2016, really 2015, I'd never been, you know, 30 plus years, I'd never really been a whistleblower. I didn't like to go down that path if it could be avoided. But I, at this point in time, I said, this is out of control. So I wanted to get a list of names to the White House. I'm not going to name somebody at the White House, which we may or may not be able to trust at this point at the time, said, yes, send me a list of names via email. And right away, my spidey senses knew that was potentially jeopardize me and take away my whistleblowing status.
Right.
You can't, this is a very, very, you can't send an email from one of the departments and agencies to the White House without essentially triggering several things. And that would violate, if I sent a list of names, that would essentially violate the Whistleblower Act and protections.
Right.
And it also would look like an enemies list. And this person, I'm not going to name their name. I'm not sure they had the best interests of Flynn.
Right. I was going to say,
Trump.
They were probably setting you up and you were smarter than to fall for it, it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah. I said, I will be happy. I mean, I'd been on the National Security Council. You know, I'd been over the White House literally hundreds of times for meetings, sat over there at the end of a Bush, at the beginning of Obama. I said, I have no problem coming over and talking about what I'm seeing. I will not email you a list.
Right. You brought up something about that was going on with Carrie, and I've done a couple shows, of course, before my YouTube was purged, on a group called West Exec. It was run by Anthony Blinken, I believe, Avril Haines, a whole bunch of people. It does appear, and Carrie was involved, obviously, Jen Psaki. It does appear that the Obama regime never really accepted that Trump ran. And what I found was that they were continuing the globalist plans, because now I do look now, sadly enough, that both Bushes, Clinton and Obama were all pretty much on the same team when it comes to the globalist agenda. But it does appear that all of Obama's team, which then would include all these guys, Comey, Clapper, Brennan, Strzok, Page, kind of just continued on with Obama's and the globalist agenda as if Trump didn't win the whole time. So, you know, the coup is so much bigger than people understand, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. They never, talk about election deniers. They never accepted that Trump won the first time. And they, yes, Comey and Brennan turned on, poured gas all over Operation Crossfire Hurricane at the very beginning of October when I came across my fateful encounter in London with one of the key players, which I can't name yet. Yeah. The only reason they were there was to coordinate the story with Gina Haspel, CIA chief of station. And I just got serendipitously put me in that place to observe what was going on. So they never accepted Trump, and they, somehow the American citizens were able to sneak through and actually win an election. And they, by golly, said never again, never again. They were going to do whatever it took to block it. I mean, 2020 was a throwdown on every possible front, high tech, low tech, ballot box stuffing, machines, all kind, whatever it took to make sure.
That's why I tell people to go find, I think I have it on my resource page, to go find the Transition Integrity Project documents by Podesta, I think Steele, that Steele, Michael Steele, I believe Norm Eisen, a main key player in the Obama regime, and Ethics Czar, which is ironic, done. So all these people a year before, because you know what happened around that time a year before, that's when they started saying things like Trump wasn't going to leave office when he lost. They were setting this whole thing up. And I remember Pompeo being like, well, he's not going to lose. And they were like, well, if it's up to us, he's going to lose. Or you had Soros out there right after he won saying, we're going to take him out. Then, which leads me to the plot against Trump and the coup and everything. This seems very extreme for all of these people that spent all their lives. And it does appear, as many people say, they did not believe until the night Trump won that Trump was going to win. And a lot of stuff was, maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But what does seem to appear to have happened here is that it wasn't America, that this wasn't the deep state of America. It appears that the British were very much involved in this. And the globalists that now I identify as the Great Resetters or the Davos crew, but it's really much bigger than that, goes all the way up to the what I call the banking cartel. But this was a takedown, I believe, maybe more because of the global governance plans that Trump was breaking down, which would be him pulling out of the WHO, which is a main tool of their ability to subjugate the world, him going and asking NATO. I believe he was looking into the UN and what was really going on there. So how much of this was about a globalist takedown of Trump and not just what it appears to be, which is our deep state?
Mel, you're absolutely spot on. And there is, in many ways, not a difference. They are seamlessly fused together, our deep staters and the globalists. And they'll harumph at this and mock these commoners who will bring up this concept of, oh, you're just rubes, hicks, hayseeds. You just don't get out, And the number of times I've been at the White House and saw an Obama, Biden, a Bush person at a meeting, and even a Bush person, we, the American people, are too stupid to make decisions for themselves. We have to do it for them. And that literally verbatim is what has been said over multiple meetings at the White House. Yeah. So it is one and the same. They just, they do want to deconstruct America because it's far easier to control on scale if you have these elites that are calling the shots. You know, just forget about this concept of a sovereign nation state. It's a quaint, quaint idea from the past, but it's irrelevant, and it stands in the way of scale, because that's one of their favorite words is scale. How do you control the population on scale? And this concept of a nation state is really an impediment to really implementing utopia. And we saw during COVID, right, you know, horrible, horrible things happened from those trying to impose utopia. Mass murder is their tool. Had no problem with the fraud of COVID. But yeah, it's one and the same. And, you know, hey, in government, we used to send people to Davos, and we still do, I guarantee it, on government travel money. But at the time, you know, up until really about, you know, late 2015, and Trump started using this term, deep state swamp. And I was going, wow, isn't that true? I mean, I'm not totally sure what he's talking about. Well, I was up to my nose in it. Right. And I didn't even realize it.
Right.
And, this is just craziness. But we'd send people to Davos or the American. Everybody should always pay attention to the Aspen Institute.
Right. Totally. I agree with that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there were several times I was on travel orders to go to Aspen, and, you know, just things changed at the last moment. But I was going to be part of the delegation and things like that. And being like, hey, this is good. You know, all these smart people can get together and talk about things. What could possibly go wrong here? Everything.
I mean, love when people say that. They say, oh, it's a think tanks, I have enough problems with them. But they're saying it's a place where people come together to network. No, it's not where they come together to plan the global governance. The good thing about what you're saying is that they got very arrogant in the end. I feel like when they were dumbing down our generations, they were dumbing down their own, because what also happened, and you know this, my audience does, you know, Kissinger and Rockefeller and the Crown and Brzezinski and all these people, they had this big grand strategy, I believe, that is playing out into Agenda 2030, the Great Reset, in its own way. I don't think that they had the next generation of thinkers and strategists that could compete and continue down this path, which is why a lot of this has come out. So Klaus Schwab comes out and puts out a book, COVID-19, The Great Reset. And and so at first you're like, well, they're just telling us that. And the first person actually to announce COVID and the Great Reset was Prince Charles, now King Charles. And if you're watching this, and then for me, I go and I look at all their my friend Charlie Robinson calls it the octopus of global control. And you look at every one of their websites, and they're all pushing the end of nation states, global governance, and then, you know, the IPCC, you know, fraudulent climate emergency stuff and all of this. And then at the end, all roads lead to consolidating power and especially money into the hands of this group. There was just Bilderberg this week where you're looking through it. It's Avril Haines, it's Eric Schmidt, who's very scarily to me behind the scenes and all embedded in the DOD and AI behind Biden. You know, you got Fink, you got Harari, all these people. But the thing is, we know, like, now that we know that this is a group, and it's always like Aspen Institute too. You know, when they go to any of these groups, Davos is having an event in Beijing upcoming. When they go to any of these groups, it's always the same group. So to even say, oh, it's a conspiracy theory. No, you can just go look at their own information.
just look at the attendance rosters. And, right, you know, working on book two coming out with Skyhorse here in the fall, to follow on from The Nation Will Follow. It'll call it The War Against the Deep State. And one of the key elements is really the foundations of mass surveillance, which, I helped set up in 2007 and 2014. So General Flynn was involved and aware of that somewhat. But at the time, you know, hey, again, sounds like a good idea. This would be a way to bring our capabilities to bear on an exponential manner in an unbelievable simultaneous collection against X and X to the second power and the fourth power and the ninth power. What could possibly go wrong here? Well, it was weaponized against the American people. And these elites in America, and you always got to look at the Belfer Center at Harvard. I mean, that is where the quarterbacking in America comes for the cheerleading for globalism.
Right.
And I'm sorry. I mean, I'm an adjunct professor. I love higher education. I think academic is great, but it has to be transparent and accountable.
Right.
The gig at Belfer is for their adjuncts. They buy them off. You get $250,000 a year. Got to see the size of the endowment of Harvard and Belfer.
I know.
And it's like, so they give all these adjunct professorships for somebody to teach one class for one semester a year, and you make $250,000. What a gig, and what a great gig. And yeah. I don't make that much from adjunct professorship. So
yeah. Well, that's something that's important. I talk about, I've changed the name to the Poison Ivy League because they groom a lot of these people out of there, especially there. There's also a lot of people don't know that the World Economic Forum was hatched by Kissinger at Harvard with money, actually, if you trace the money, which I do a lot, that connects to the CIA. So people look, oh, it's just a European networking group. No, it's not. It had a lot to do with creating the EU, which is, I believe, one of the first, cabal type cutting down of the planet into sizable chunks that they can easily manipulate. And that's where we are now. Now it's important to talk about the surveillance thing because a good friend of mine, Nora Bin Laden, is at the World Health Assembly with the World Health Organization right now, and obviously, and scarily enough, the same week as Bilderberg, same people, basically just different groups, and their whole conference right now at this World Health Organization is basically centered on AI and mass surveillance on a scale that is so minute that everything you say and do will be watched by an algorithm that they control. So when you're talking about setting that up under the guise of the Patriot Act or fighting the war on terror, you're doing it thinking this is good. Well, it's been taken over. And this is what I say about technology all the time. It doesn't, the technology could be great, like what you thought you were doing or General Flynn. When used by people that want to enslave humanity and control behavior, it's very dangerous. So where are we in terms of the level of surveillance that they've manipulated to track and trace and surveil us?
Well, I think it's basically, we should consider it pervasive through all platforms, all environments. That's why always my best practice is whenever, because people will use some of these special apps where we're using this because the government can't listen to us. I said, are you kidding me? Yeah. I mean, they've already broken through. In fact, most of these have what's called national security agreements already with the U.S. government, right, that they're going to open their back door anyway. So it's a joke. So that's one of my best practices. Everything we say and do is going to be lawful. You know, everything we say and do in this meeting is going to be lawful. No, we could talk about any way we want because the government's not listening. What a joke. Get real, people.
Yeah.
And so, yes, it is pervasive through all things. And we need to stand up to this. There's still time and just totally call it for what it is. Hold individuals. Don't get mad at abstract concepts. Right. Identify names. Marjorie Taylor Greene was just on another show, and she was talking about the SARS reports, the SARS from Treasury that document the financial malfeasance.
Right.
And I sent a note and to know. So she needs to ask. It is a requirement when a U.S. national is identified in an intelligence or law enforcement document, such as the SARS report from Treasury, it is a requirement that U.S. government officials who are aware of this must and shall turn it into a Department of Justice referral. So the question is, and all these SARS reports that apparently go back to even before 2014.
I know.
Because that's when we started seeing it. That's when we started realizing with the island building, some of the Biden folks are furious because China's island building, and yet they're either
involved.
They're either involved or are unaware and are bought off later, right, that Unc Lunchbucket and his son are over there selling out the country.
Right.
So, but a SARS report, you shall turn in a DOJ referral. And so the operative question for Marjorie Taylor Greene and everybody else is they need to find the names of those officials who created and read those reports. And why didn't they initiate a Department of Justice referral?
I think what you just said is that one of the most important things I've heard, and I've been doing this for a while here, it's we got to be specific. If people think that they're going after a monolith of some sort, be it the Treasury or, you know, the Fed or military industrial complex, it's very abstract. You know, if you actually point to this, is that's such a good thing. And people should start implementing that in their work. People that do what I do, but also I can't, the media is not the media, it's Intel. But anyone out there that's doing reporting or even a citizen journalist should start looking at following. I follow the money. You can find the people easier that way. But really, we have to start looking at it in terms of that it is pieces of a puzzle, not a giant finished puzzle. And that's where you have a book out that a lot of people have recommended to me that people love. And it's called The Nation Will Follow. And right now, you know, I'm sure you're familiar. I've played it on my show and been very pointed to it a lot. There was an interview with a defector from the KGB, Yuri Bezmenov, G. Edward Griffin. I show his in the 80s. Interviewed this guy, and he was going through the plan for to infiltrate America, even though I think the Crown did that way long before, but to infiltrate America through all of our agencies and everything else to and there's steps of it, like demoralize, dehumanize. I think we're past the normalization phase, but I do feel that this is a psychological operation as well, and that they are destroying us from within, and the American people are so distracted by the divide and conquer and the different woke stuff and the groups and this and that and all these executive orders, diversity, equity, inclusion, that they're not even seeing that this is a plan. This is a tactic to destroy us from within by letting us destroy each other. So from that standpoint, you have come up with a bunch of ideas for the American people actually to work together and find a way out of this. And I still believe that we can do that. But let's talk a little bit about your book and what you see as workable plans to take back this nation. And of course, General Flynn and I and a lot of others talk about local action, which you do as well. So let's get into solutions.
Thank you, Mel. 95% of us should spend 97% of our energy right where we live. Don't yell at the swamp. Don't yell at the elites or the globalists. Don't yell at another. You know, that Maricopa County makes me mad. You know, that's bad. We need to find additional leaders to fight the fight who are Maricopa residents. It's all about, when we say local action, I've talked to the general about this, it's all about seven key centers of gravity that are common to all 3,300 or so county and county equivalents. And the Census Bureau is the document of record on what's a county or county equivalent. We've got roughly 3,300, including the territories. It's your seven. It's your school board. It's your county council. It's your election board. It's your registrar. They call them recorders in Arizona. And it's your judges, sheriffs, and prosecutors. I meet with my sheriff every month. I just had the blessing. I'm able to meet with the Virginia Attorney General often, and we have a number of wins in here. But focus all your energy there. That's where the swamp starts. That's how the swamp got in control of Washington, D.C., is in our counties. We were spending our time focusing on God, family, and country, which is the right order. Part of that, though, Romans 13, is you got to spend time on local governance. And these stupid, boring meetings, you've got to attend these.
Right.
You've got to attend these. This is where the corruption started. Because right now, the entire country is wrapped around the finger of Maricopa, Fulton, and Philadelphia. And so everybody secure your own county and the nation will follow. It's all about. And everybody says, well, I do this. That's the precinct project. I go, I love Dan Schultz and the precinct project. That's great. That is not this. Dan Schultz is about the local GOP. Now, I've had battles and forced two GOP chairs in a row out only because they attacked me. You know, when my registrar resigned because of my action, I got a horrific letter from my county GOP, and it was a Dems didn't say boo to me. And the previous chair I already asked to leave. He left. I had a throwdown with him. He's gone. So that's the only reason I'm not involved in the precinct project in my county. I'm focused on the 7 centers of gravity.
Right. And I get that because, you know, for me, I went around with a lot of candidates, a lot of American First candidates, and spoke at their events. Mainly I speak about geopolitics and the UN and my major issues with that. But what I did notice is I don't think the GOP and the DNC are very different. I think the problem with our elections goes before even the primary. I think that there's a good that it's a uniparty at this point, and they both have their billion-dollar, you know, corporations. It seems that the status quo is working for them. It's not working for we the people, but they do not want new people in, which is why what you're saying, and I say this to everyone, they're going to try to keep you out before the primary. You have to at least get to the primary so that people in your county know you. Because what they're trying to do is to give the choices that the GOP makes are the only choices. And that has a lot to do with money and backing. And this, I hate this Win Red with their text messages that pretend to be that they're like all elderly people think Ron DeSantis is texting them. And I'm like, no, it's Win Red. But whatever the case may be, if people don't know that good people are running, they're not going to know that they have other options. And that is what I think it's really about at the beginning of the election season, is keeping out any good people. Because here's the problem. They've turned, because a lot of it has to do with the billionaire oligarchy, I believe, runs our country, especially our elections. But they've turned good people who've done good in their community, maybe had a business that employed thousands of people in their county. They've given back to the schools, to the kids. They've built stuff. They've been involved. They want to run for office. And the thing that stops them is they don't want their lives destroyed. They don't want their families attacked. They don't want smear pieces by Media Matters and other groups that's what they do. And what's sad is that our running for office has become like Gladiator. And you have to go in there with like the armor of God and knowing your whole family will be torn apart. And there's something fundamentally wrong with that. Is there anything we can do about that? Is that a money issue? Good people are stopped from running.
Yeah, well, I encourage people, you have to pray, reflect upon this, figure out somehow, you know, we got to support our families. We have to continue on with that. But I think I encourage people to join the fray again. The action at those 7 centers of gravity, holding those. I meet with my sheriff monthly and locally and around the nation, you know, just because of the work of my nonprofit, along with Ivan Raiklin, you know, we have 4 felony charges that have been filed against officials. We have 4 officials who have resigned or been removed from office. Right. You got to hold these people accountable. You got to get smart. You got to know the laws and things like that. Everybody says, I need a lawyer. I can't read the state law. If you can read English, you do not get a lawyer. Right. Bad idea.
Yeah.
And do it yourself. Do it yourself. But run for these positions. And a little anecdote. I mean, right now we're in the primaries in Prince William. Again, I try to stay apolitical in these matters because I got a C3 nonprofit. I don't want to be partisan. But in the Republican primary, there's 2 candidates one of the Republican candidates for the county council is being primaried by somebody else. And the other person looks like a plant. And I sent an email to that person. I'd like to talk to you. I need an explanation on certain matters. Person has a long history of donating to Dems. We've had several conversations. I appreciate his somewhat transparent responses. In the end, I'm going to have to out him this afternoon or tomorrow. Because the guy's a plant. I mean, he clearly has been inserted into the campaign. He says he voted for Trump. And he says, I'm allowed to release everything he sent to me. I said, he voted for Trump, yet 90% of his donations were to Democrats. That just doesn't make any sense.
Well, this is an important thing to talk about, too, because when I was going around, I went to Utah, Colorado, Illinois, New York, obviously, Florida, all over the place to speak at candidate events or just to show up, get people there, get people involved. And there's a lot of plants. And the best way to do that is to, like you're saying, follow their money. and look at what they, A, if they're already in office in any position, to look at what they voted for. But B, if you follow their money, you're going to find that. Because what I was finding when I was going along with good candidates, America First, you know, patriots, people, I love vets that run. And then you'd see that the GOP would put in somebody that was almost exactly word for word saying the same stuff, even look like them sometimes. That happened in Chicago. I was like, what is going on? And then you dig in and you realize, oh, wait a minute. So they got money from this group or that group. And then you and I both know that a lot of that goes through shell companies. Something I've been telling people to do, which is in line with you, is we are the government works for us, you know, and we would never hire somebody to work for our small business and check in every 2 to 4 years, let alone 6 years. So what I say is they all have websites now. So why not make it your job as a citizen of that county to have all their websites in like a folder and just go in and see what they're doing, what they're voting on? Because another thing that's happening here, and I think this is also empowering to people and gives them something to do through your strategy of county and the 7 seats of which you can get involved and actually make change. It appears that the UN and Agenda 2030 and this climate cult movement that's really about power and consolidating power and money has infiltrated our local communities on a massive scale. And there's a lot of groups out there that don't realize the sustainable goals is not what it seems. And I think that's something that is happening. What are your thoughts on the infiltration?
It's this, it's transgenderism. Transgenderism, globalism, Antifa, squatters. It's all the same thing. It's all the same crazies. They just, they kind of ran out on Antifa. They realize, okay, we've run a course on Antifa. What do we get? Pedophiles. It's actually a very high correlation between they literally are the same people who are in these groups. They're angry. They're hateful. They don't know what they want. They're the product of 50 years of Howard Zinn brainwashing in the public school system. I mean, they're just psychologically wrecks. And yet they're the ones who are angry and are going to try and fear and intimidate you. I'm in Prince William County in Virginia. Right. Next door, Loudoun is fighting for its life. And I spent a lot of time fighting with Loudoun. But, they got to just keep fighting. In Prince William, we're starting to make a comeback. But it's all about getting involved and asking reasonable questions to these people and going to these stupid, boring meetings. Because this is where, this is where it all starts. Because, you can't have a soda with sugar in it. Oh, you can only have a 20 ounce. You can only have a 16 ounce. You can only have a 12 ounce. You can't use plastic straws. You can't use paper straws. But then that's the foundation of, you really should be eating bugs. We should be allowed to talk to your children without your knowledge and encourage them to have horrible, horrible surgeries that will change their lives and turn them into zombies, or fentanyl. 70,000 Americans dead last year, more than 34 years of combat combined in Vietnam and the war on terror. No big deal. No, it's all the same. It's all the same thing. They don't care. That's where we got to rally, talk to these officials. We got Virginia out of the ERIC system.
That's a big deal.
After the election, I talked to the AG and followed up with another briefing. And I said, look, there is no statute-based reason Virginia has to be. It is not in state statute. We do not have to be in ERIC. Whenever you're investigating a nonprofit, always pull their IRS form 990 and go through it. And I pulled ERIC's 990 and I'm going, there's immediately a number of flags here. And I said, and so I gave it to the attorney general. Again, we got an open attorney general and meet with them regularly. And I said, hey, after you got rid of my registrar and she has 2 felony charges against her. Here's the next one is there's no reason to be an ERIC. And they looked at it. I said, Youngkin, under his inherent executive authority, can march us out of ERIC. Right. And they looked at it, chewed on it, said, we're going to do that.
Right.
So,
and the other thing that I'm glad you're saying that, because what I always say is there's a website called influencewatch.org and it tries to be nonpartisan, but it goes through everything. But I have to tell you something. The scariest part about what you're saying and what people should be doing with their time is to look at these nonprofits, these non-government organizations. You just put in the name, go down to funding, and you're going to find 10 billionaires and almost everything that's dividing the country. Their foundations and their grants are funding it. And it's like Arabella Partners, New Venture, Tides, Gates Foundation, Rockefeller Foundation, Open Society, every single one, because you're talking about the Black Lives Matter to Antifa to the trans movement. There's going to be something next. And they're always funded by the same money. And really following that money will prove that we have an American globalist oligarchy that's controlling everything down to the school boards. Because why are people running for these? I think before COVID, parents thought that the school boards were staffed with people that cared about their children. But it looks like it's the lowest hanging fruit to get into the political realm rather than a calling, which, you know, we have to get people in there that it's their calling. And not, which is happening slowly but surely. Now, you also have a great website, and I want people to know about that and go there. But I do believe there are groups starting. My mom started one in Florida, a We the People group. It's nonpartisan. And really, we're at a place, I keep saying, I say this on all my shows, that we need like a 12-step recovery program called Americans Anonymous, where you leave your ego and your team jerseys outside and you go in as Team America. Either we're going to save it ourselves, united, or we're going to lose it. So I think that your book, and I'm recommending this to everyone, The Nation Will Follow, is a good book to bring into those meetings and go through it and share the lessons in there and share them with other people that are in your community that are like-minded. Because I feel like right now we also need like neighborhood watches like we had when we were kids that are really for like America. I mean, but let's talk a little bit about your website and what you're doing out there, because you also have a program for parents. And it's really important that people get this information.
Well, thank you so much, Mel. And a lot of things I'm also posting. I'm Colonel R.E.T. John, Colonel Rhett John on Substack, Getter, and Truth. And so I'm populating a lot of the documents on Substack. My Substack is really exploding. Cool. And I'm putting it behind a little bit of a wall because
you live. I mean, you're not making $30 million like Hannity.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was Joe Ron Pulitzer that made this recommendation because I had the National Election Integrity Association website, and clearly bigger groups who suck up the oxygen, I'm not going to name any names,
were
clearly ripping off my documents. And he actually made, John, you need to take some of these documents off because people are clearly plagiarizing. And you know, even the RNC came to me, even before, it was like October of 20, our senior RNC representative came to me and said, John, you have some great documents. I'd written almost 100 action memos up to that point in time on what was going on as far as the steal in advance of the steal. And I mean, I had almost 50 memos to AG Barr and, just incompetent. And so, John, can we borrow this thing? And I see you use this term election integrity. And I said, yeah, that's fine. All I want you to do, all I ask for is in professionalism. All I ask for is professional attribution. That's all I ask for. All my documents are marked. And, sure, absolutely. You got it, John. We'll definitely do that. And then on January 7th, the RNC explodes with election integrity. So
the other side uses anything that has integrity in it on the other side is funded by those 10 billionaires. And if you go through it, you're going to find it's the exact opposite. It is such a struggle dealing with the psychological manipulation, the mind control. You've been in it a long time. I've had on some people that were actually victims of MK Ultra and other things. And I don't think people are starting to understand the level of military grade mind control and propaganda and messaging that we're also under, which I think your work also, you need to know it's happening to understand, to allow it not to happen. There's always that saying that says you can't be propagandized if you know it's propaganda. And I think you do a nice job in your writing that I've been looking through of kind of cutting out the verbiage that is put in there to confuse people, because that's what they do. That's like, I have gone through on my show, Agenda 2030, and their sustainable goals. And if you decode them, they're not good for any of us. They're good for the elite globalists that want to consolidate money and power and resources for them, not good for the rest of the team. So that's really important. So your Substack is very good. And I ask people all the time, the people that are working on the front lines, like Colonel here, They're doing it because they love God and country. They also have a family to support, as we do over here at the Mel Kay Show. And, you know, you got to think about where you're putting your money. Right now, we have three things that we have: our vote, our time, and our money. And if you aren't using all three to save this nation, then you should reevaluate where you are, because all of those things matter. And helping people continue down this path is really important right now. And as we're seeing with the multinational corporations that are all in cahoots with the Great Reset and the ESG score, every time you go shop at one of these places, you're allowing them to continue to infiltrate and destroy our nation. Now, going forward, you're very positive, which I love about you. And you actually are, I've seen you on other shows and Bannon and elsewhere. You actually feel that we, the people, are more awake and can find ways to align and unite before 24. Because the scary part right now is we are seeing a lot of talking heads talking about, well, what's the point? They're going to cheat again. And I think that's a very nihilistic way to think about it. But we have, what, 15 months. So what are your messages to the people out there of what they should action step be doing right now?
Yeah, most Americans should spend 97% of their energy right in their county. It's special operations mission number one. Is I've talked to Joe Kent and the general about this, is foreign internal defense. Right. Is that's building, that's training and equipping local nationals to and community members to defend themselves against bad people.
Right.
It's right where we live. Right. We need to do FID, foreign internal, right where we live. And that's by dominating these centers of gravity. And immediately everybody goes, oh, that means become part of the Republican Party. I said, geez, I never even said that. I'm not sure how that jumped into your brain when you said join the Republican Party. Never once said that. And I said, no, it's understanding these seven common institutions. That is the foundation of our constitutional republic. If you're law enforcement minded, you should be meeting monthly with your right. sheriff. And don't, it's two extremes. These people are not the enemy, but they're not your friend either. And this is in the PSYOP game. This is where I see people all the time is, and this is where the Republican Party blew up at me, because they said, we're working with the registrar. I said, the registrar who I just got fired, and it's now two felony charges, who is their greatest nemesis, you were working with them. I don't get this. So you can do this. You cannot be a hater and a deranged hater. They are not the enemy. But they're not your friend either.
Right.
They're somebody who are incumbent a position of trust and responsibility that it is your right as an American citizen to hold them accountable in a civil manner. Don't be a yeller or screamer, but don't be co-optive and then be captured opposition.
Right.
You know, as I've seen this over and over again, I'm working with this corrupt official. Why are you working with this corrupt official? No, you want to get that corrupt official. If they're corrupt, you want to get them hammered and fired. You know, so don't, none of this, I'm working with them. No, but don't be a hater and screamer either. People go, you know, people ask me to red team their letters to government and these institutions all the time. And I'm going, wow, you didn't actually mail this letter yet, did you? And they go, yeah, we actually already, why did you ask me to red team it after you mailed it? And if I was a government official and received this letter, I would look at it as a physical threat.
Right. I know.
Let's start getting better at letter writing here, please.
Yeah, that's another reason to go to his Substack and subscribe there and do go behind the paywall if you can, because words matter and the way that you write things matter. And right now, I got to have you back because I have so much more to ask you. But I do want to touch on this because you were involved in the initial Patriot Act and all of that surveillance and everything and not ever at the time thinking it was going to be turned on patriots in America. But we have a situation right now, which is a total fraud, but it is our intel run media and our the globalists, in my opinion, the oligarchy are pushing this white supremacy lie. And it's coming from the very top. First of all, people have to understand that watch my show know this. This is across the board of all the Five Eyes nations. It is not just the U.S. And it's coming out of Davos. It's coming out of Soros's mouth. Now, it's not just you're an anti-Semite if you question Soros. Now you're a white supremacist, too. So join the group. But this is very dangerous because it's not true. And it's scaring a lot of people. I have friends that were at January 6th. I was devastated by the seditious conspiracy, guilty verdict of the Proud Boys who were not even there and who are not even a formal group, as they've described. They are really a bunch of basically vets and former cops that just love America and were there for the right reasons, but did not go in the Capitol and are now charged with treason, found guilty, basically. So what do we do, the people that, I mean, I still think that we should be protesting, but then everyone say, oh, peaceful protesting. But listen, you look back at Vietnam, there's a million people down in DC and it's peaceful, but they're not happy with that. And what do you make of this, tactic to deem us all domestic terrorists, white supremacists, all of that, when really we just are trying to do what we can to save our country?
Well, we need to form and assemble and do protests, but be very, there are Ray Epps among us, and they've been juicing the numbers. That's where we need to hold FBI officials accountable, because now it's a numerator over denominator situation. Everybody who attended J6 is now an extremist. And not only that, a white extremist, even though it was a very, very diverse audience from my observation when I was down there. Right. So they're juicing the numbers. It's a fraud. And it's really, ladies, let's not forget assembling at the right time, right place, with the right attitude. We need to get back into mega trains and show our flag, but just be mindful and be careful.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really important. Because I think that, in my opinion, I could still call it a fedsurrection. That's my opinion. But I have to tell you that I do believe that what happened on January 6th was so that we would never question, as all the lies come out and they come out, that people are too scared to show up or even speak up. And America is still, which is this is the truth, 60% white. And I really don't understand why white people are allowing this narrative to continue. I don't care what side you are on. It is not true. And it is dangerous. And it doesn't benefit anyone. It doesn't benefit the Black community. It doesn't benefit the immigrants. It doesn't benefit the Latino community. It's bad for everyone, this whole new narrative. And it's really coming. It's oddly enough coming from oligarch billionaires that happen to be white, but are globalists. So, you know, it's all a mess. But you are doing amazing work. I'm so grateful to you. Colonel Mills can be found. He's going to tell you in a minute, but he's also going to be back, because I have a whole nother thing I thought about that I want to talk to you about. So if you could tell my audience where they could find you, please subscribe to a Substack. Really important. And follow him wherever you can. Go ahead. Tell them where to find your book and your website.
Oh, thank you, Mel. Yeah. Colonel Rhett Johns, Colonel R.E.T. John, Substack, Getter, and Truth, www.thenationwillfollow.com, My Time in the Deep State, prefaced by somebody, Stephen K. Bannon, you might have heard about him. And then book two, it's My Time in the Deep State, Fighting Them, Fingering a Number of Folks to the Durham Investigation, The Action Plan for the Citizen. Book two is coming out, and it's the war against the deep state. First chapter, Moms Will Win This War. Yeah. And it's about the foundations of the surveillance state, how to take that down. And again, number of positive stories, success stories of victory right where we live in our counties.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Colonel. I am a big fan of you, and keep up the great work. All his links will be below. Please head over there. And if you have a small group all around the country, try to align with other groups. But his book, The Nation Will Follow, is a good good book to bring to those events and kind of talk about the seven centers of power where you actually have control and can change things. It's going to be state by state, I believe, that we save this nation. So thank you so much, sir. And I'll see you next time.
Oh, thank you, Mel. And yeah, book two will be out in the fall with Skyhorse. Thank you so much,
Oh,
Mel.
Great. Well, we'll have you back before then, and then we'll have you back when you have the book out. thank you so much, sir. Bye-bye.
You bet.
Hey, Patriot pals. So happy that you're looking into gold and silver and protecting your savings for whatever comes ahead. Beverly Hills Precious Metals is our good friend, and we've been working with them for a long time. So you'll be getting a call from them. We'll also follow up here at the Mel Kay Show, because we want to make sure that you're taken care of and you're protected. If you have any questions, please let us know. Right now is the time. There's so much information coming. There's so much chaos. We just want all the patriots out there to be sure that they are protected, they are moving forward, and that we get through the storm together and safe. Whatever may come, just know we, the people of the United States, will prevail. God wins. And protect yourself. And please get in touch with us if you have any questions. So Beverly Hills Precious Metals, they're the best. They'll be in touch. We'll be in touch. You be in touch with us. Let's do this together.
Hi, friends. Dr. Michelle Sherwood here.
I'm Dr. Mark Sherwood.
Many people know about our clinic, but we also have a desire to help people who can't personally visit us, but still want to take steps towards better health.
Our two-week health reset is a great first step and requires no video appointments or tests.
With our health reset, you will get 28 detox shakes to provide the ideal nutritional foundation, 28 supplement packs with key nutrients, and access to daily videos where we encourage you along the two-week process.
Our health reset plan is usually $180. Now, it's just $169 with your promo code. Go to Sherwood.tv now and use the promo code on your screen to receive this exclusive offer.
Take a simple step and let us guide you on the road to feel better.